have two authorities here who could tell you much better than I could, but I'm reasonably sure that both Phil and Beanie would agree that music in the church is never intended to be a cover-up for unnecessary noise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord Most High, let our prayers be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of our hands as the evening sacrifice. Unite us in faith with thy whole church, in hope with thy saints in heaven, and in love with all who are praying at this hour. And grant that by thy mercies we may present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable service. And by thy grace be enabled to offer unto thee the sacrifice of a contrite heart, which thou, O God, wilt not despise. Amen. Hymn number 520, the first tune. Text is our Lord's temptation, St. Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to 11 as follows. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's join singing hymn number 123. Several ways in which we can look at the temptation of our Lord. But always basic to it all is the fact that he conquered. And even as he was in all things tempted like as we are, yet without sin, so that we can be sure that we have an high priest who can understand us and knows the things to which we are subjected to better than we know ourselves, our final victory is always in him. And as surely as we are in him, this victory which he won is already ours. Ours right here and now is already the overwhelming victory in faith. Fear not, I have overcome the world. We hear this story of our Lord's temptation. Fear not, I've also overcome the devil. But with this as a background, I believe that we also have something else here. Because whatever else we may say about the devil, he's not creative. Luther once called him God's ape. That's about the best that he can do. And while he's very subtle, much slyer than we are, more brains than we've got too, nevertheless he's not creative. He showed his hand already in the original fall of man. Sometime for your own sake, take another look at that story in Genesis 3 and compare it with the temptation of our Lord. And then another thing, take another look at the first epistle of St. John. And there see how he speaks about this as being the ongoing temptation today. The lust of the world, no, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride or the braggart boast of life. You've got it in the original temptation. You've got it in the temptation of our Lord. So what we also have here is exposure. Exposure of the means which Satan is constantly using in order to tear us away from God. And it always has to do with doubt. Hath God said, the original temptation. And the temptation to which you and I are subjected day in and day out. Hath God said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And here the fundamental temptation is really, as it comes to us, to doubt God. That God actually has accepted us and received us in Jesus Christ. And always comes in this if. If you are a child of God, then. And every time you hear one of these if-then propositions with regard to God or with regard to your salvation, be sure that the devil is behind it, not God. Our Lord was tempted here to doubt that he actually had been led of the Spirit. You, the Son of God, and now you should have to go through all this, you who have the power, because surely you are the Son of God, you who will one day use this power to feed 5,000, to feed another 4,000 on another occasion, surely God couldn't possibly intend for you to go hungry, that you, the Son of God, should be subjected to the sorrows and the sufferings of common ordinary people in common ordinary life. The temptation to doubt God, particularly when the going gets rough in our own lives. As though sorrow, suffering, even doubt cannot in its own way be usable by God in order that we may truly be his sons and his daughters. But always the attempt to take the appearance of things, to take the existence in which we find ourselves at the moment and use this against the declaration of God. If thou be the Son of God, if you be a child of God, how is it possible that your existence in so many ways should be so miserable, in many ways more miserable than the people who don't claim to be the children of God? The temptation to doubt God. And the only answer, and this was perfectly lived out only once, and that's in our Lord. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You and I live by the mouth of God. We live by the word which he has declared to us in Jesus Christ. We are children of God because God declares us to be his children. As surely as Christ bore this temptation for us, and it had its culmination probably in Gethsemane. The second one, to the temptation probably to doubt self. Our Lord now was faced with a temptation to be a popular Messiah or to be the Messiah according to the will of God and his own determination in terms of his love for the world. This saving love, by knowing all of the heartache, all the hard-headedness, all the slowness to believe, all of the many falling aways and the drawing back and the falling aways again, this whole thing that we find depicted in our Lord's life, until finally crucified, he ends up with how many? One. And that one was a thief and a robber. This whole miserable business of apparent lack of success. Is this the way to save the world? Is this the way to be the Messiah? Is that what God intends you to be? This doubting of ourselves. Holden Village can contribute to this doubt unwittingly. Because as we are withdrawn here, God in his mercy gives us, I hope and pray, some high experiences of his love and our renewal in community. Maybe the pinnacle of the temple even, which always involves a certain type of giddiness. And then what do? And we go back to the commonplace and the ordinary, and we start whipping ourselves. Surely that type of experience of the love of God that I had at Holden means that I've got to do something great. I've got to do something that will convince people that I've got it now because it was given to me. Christ assured me. I've got the Holy Spirit. I am in a renewed community. And it never works simply because that's not God's way. God's way is in the common, ordinary, humble, simple task day by day, that we be what he has declared us, forgiven sinners, and that we can again cheerfully and gratefully take this little job and that little irritation and that little improvisation. Tilikey is great on the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite passing by on the other side. Probably they were on their way to a church meeting. And this is the way it is with us, that all of these things that we look upon as interruptions of our great spiritual life and our great spiritual expression now because we've been to Holden, and whipping ourselves even to have more of these and to express this more fully in a spiritual way, it won't work. That's the temptation to cast ourselves down from the pinnacle of the temple in display. That it be done some other way than God's way. God, whom we have learned to know as our Father, and whom we trust in his providence, and in the forgiveness of sins, to whom we turn very gratefully, and with wide open hands accept the daily little tasks, as being incorporable by him for use in the kingdom of God. We don't determine the ends, God does. Then the final temptation, I would think, probably to doubt the world. How doubt the world? As if it belonged to Satan. As if Satan had it in his province to give it to Jesus. And this, too, becomes a temptation to us. As if the world is sold out to the devil. As if the providence of our Heavenly Father has no more to do with it, as though it can go its own way to its own perdition, as though God did not love it, as though God did not redeem it. And then we want to draw back from the world. And then we want to live our own little secluded lives in the renewed community. instead of seeing that God now has made us what we are for the life of the world. And only as we live for the life of the world do we worship the Lord our God and serve him alone. Let us pray. O King of men, master of our lives, entering into thy glory by the cross, to whom all authority is given both in heaven and on earth, we acknowledge thy sovereignty over every realm of life. Come, O Lord, into thy kingdom. Subdue the world by the might of thy love. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto thee forever and ever. O Son of Mary, consecrate our homes. Son of David, cleanse our politics. Son of man, rule the affairs of nations. Son of God, give us eternal life. Jesus the carpenter, hallow our daily work. Jesus the Christ, deliver a world which waits for thee. Jesus the Savior, save us from ourselves. Jesus the life giver, renew thy church. Word of God, perfect thy creation. Lord, exalted at the Father's side, raise us to live with thee in God. May the power and the glory of thy love be known and adored to all the ends of the earth, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make us perfect, establish, strengthen us. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us close by singing hymn number 345. 345.